speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
I want us to think about serving our God for the purpose of winning souls unto the kingdom of God. When we think in regard to service, we know that the greatest servant of all is Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ came on the behalf of heaven's eternal plan for the redemption of man's soul. And while Christ was here, we know that He dedicated Himself fully to doing heaven's will, our Heavenly Father's will that had been laid out in heaven's plan. And while He was enacting and while He was doing the will of God, we understand is that He reached out unto His fellow man in service. And as children of God, you and I have also been called to be servants of the Most High and Holy God. When we think about servant and servitude, there are Greek words that help us to understand our role and responsibility. In the Greek language, there's the term doulos, which is a slave or a servant. And the context helps us to understand that as we relate it to our relationship with God is that we are to be bond servants, to understand that we are under obligation to God, as well as not only our obligation to God, we find that we are obligated to our fellow man to do all that we can to help them with their things that they face in life so that they might come to a better understanding of our God and His love for them. We also know then that there are special servants in the church. The Greek term for that is dikaios, and that is in reference to deacons. But yet at the same time, every single one of us are to serve as servants in the church. One of my favorite servants that we read of in the New Testament Scripture in the Lord's church during the time in which the Scripture was being played out, during the time in which we see the church developed and move forward is the Apostle Paul. As we think in regard to the Apostle Paul, good people, we find is that Paul was on a mission for life. And as we look to the mission that he was on, he did not concern himself with becoming popular amongst the Jews. He was indeed a Jew, and he lived his life according to the Jewish law, the standards that were prescribed under the law of Moses. Yet at the same time, the way in which he kept that law was not to impress his fellow man, but rather he wanted to make certain that he complied with the law of God so that our God would be pleased with him. But not only whenever it came to keeping the law, whenever he converted to Christ and whenever he was going about preaching and teaching, we find is that he was not out to impress the Gentiles of which he was a chosen vessel unto, but rather he wanted to make certain that he was not popular amongst man, but rather that he sought to glorify our God on a continual basis. As you look to the things that this man taught, he did not try to be politically correct. There were religious movements of that day. There were various sects that had been developed as a result of teachings of mankind during that time frame. And I believe that Paul and the other apostles would have been very keen to the things that were being taught. They no doubt would have studied those things. They would have come in contact with teachers of those religious movements and even false teachers concerning God's plan in Christ. But in this, as we find in regard to their involvement and specifically to Paul, he did not say things that would have tickled the ears of the religious people of that day. Why? Because he stood for our God. He knew that it was a proclamation of the good news of Christ and that it was sound doctrine that was going to set man free from their sin and the consequences of sin. Also, though, as we look in regard to the way in which he dealt with society, as he dealt with people on a day in and day out basis who had no religion, he did not try to be politically correct with these individuals. If they were living a life that was contrary to the law of God, Paul preached against it. Why? Because these people needed to hear the truth. They did not need to have their ears tickled. And certainly we need to learn from the things that we find in regard to Paul and others as we would deal with our modern age, as we will deal with people in religious error as well as people in the world who are living a life that is ungodly. This man, the Apostle Paul, gave his life to preaching and teaching concerning Jesus Christ. Well, what did he preach concerning Christ to people? He taught explicitly, as we learn from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is indeed the core gospel message. We need to continue that message today, to preach and teach concerning the death of Christ. Why? Because without His death, without the shedding of His blood, there is no avenue wherein that man is able to have our sins forgiven. But not only to preach about the death of Christ, to preach about the burial of Christ, and also the resurrection. Why? Concerning the resurrection, because in the resurrection is where our hope is. In His resurrection, He has become our first fruit. And now, because He has been resurrected from the grave by the power and the glory of our God, you and I also have hope in the day in which Jesus Christ our Lord will return. Do you remember His words in the book of John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29? He says, "The hour is coming when all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation." Paul went everywhere preaching and teaching Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, but good people. Also, he taught people about the doctrine, sound doctrine, about what it means to truly worship God in spirit and in truth, what it means to obey the plan that God has in mind for man in order for us to receive redemption. We need to study what it is that Paul taught concerning the Lord, and then also to make certain that we do the same thing continually as New Testament Christians. What was his goal? What was his mission? The people he sought in every direction to win people to our Lord. That's why he did what he did. And the Scripture identifies that he became all things to all men, that he might by all means save some. To the Jew, he became as the Jews. And yes, he had that Jewish heritage, but still at the same time, he followed according to the customs of the Jews of that day, as long as those customs did not violate the law of God. Whenever it came to the Romans, he also played into the hands of the Romans, so long as those customs, so long as their traditions did not violate the law of God. And the things that he was doing, the ways in which he was acting, as well as the things that he did for his fellow man, serving his fellow man day in and day out, he did all of these things in an effort to wake these individuals up, to cause their heart to be pricked, and to get them to consider the way that Christians were living, the way that God has for man throughout life, so that we will have a way to spend eternity in heaven with our God. When you look over the life of this man, the Apostle Paul, I believe that it is very clear that he had a knowledge concerning sin. Why? Because he himself was a sinner. He knew what it was to be a sinner. In fact, he says that Christ gave Himself a ransom to save mankind from our sin, and He identified Himself as the chiefest of sinners. He looked at the things that He Himself did that violated the law of God, and He said that His sins, in His mind anyway, stuck out above what others that He knew had done. Well, what is it that he did specifically? We know that this man thought that he was doing right in the sight of God, having been trained by Gamaliel, the most illustrious rabbi of the day, and he sought to follow according to the law, but yet at the same time he came to realize that in trying to keep the law, he was violating the law of Christ. But good people also think in regard to the extent that he went and trying to uphold that law that he thought was right. He was persecuting the church. He was beating Christians and dragging them off into prison. And as a result of that, he looked to his life and he said that he was certainly the chief of sinners of that day. And as he had that understanding on the other side of his conversion, I think that he was able to relate with people more so because he kept these things in front of him on a continual basis. And he also had come to realize the consequences of sin. These things, I think, had been pointed out to him by way of revelation in his conversion process, but also in an ultimate way as he was going about preaching and teaching concerning salvation in Christ, taking into consideration what he taught to those at Rome. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he tells these individuals that the wages of sin is death. He's identified over in what we know as Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 that there's none righteous, no, not one. In verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then by the time we read in the letter that he has penned to these individuals in chapter 6 and verse 23, he's imploring, he's pleading with these individuals to understand that the wages of sin is death, separation from God in this life, and that ultimately man will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for the things that we have done in this life, in this physical life, in our fleshly bodies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, he identifies there that we'll give an account for the good as well as the evil. Paul realized full well what the consequences of sin are, but also, good people, I believe that he saw the scope, heaven's scope, for the plan of redemption. God desires for every soul to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. And Peter expands upon this in identifying God's patience and long-suffering with man, not wanting any to perish, but rather for all to come unto repentance. Paul, in being a chosen vessel unto the Gentiles, realized that salvation was not only for the Jew. He understood that Calvinistic doctrine was not right. Why? Because God has not an elect few who He wants to be saved, but rather God wants every single soul, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor. He wants every single soul to come unto Him to receive the forgiveness that He extends in Christ, as well as to be able to be a recipient of the eternal life in heaven with Him someday. And good people, what do we find in regard to the Apostle Paul? He gave his life to serving Jesus Christ faithfully, without end. And in serving Jesus Christ, not only do we find is that he was a servant in the proclamation of the gospel, he was a servant in the same way as what Christ was while he was here. As you read through the 13, possibly 14 books that Paul is responsible for, as you read, even in the book of Acts, the things that are stated in regard to Paul and his outreach efforts, this man engaged in not only personal evangelism, but he engaged in personal work as a servant, finding needs amongst the people that he came in contact with. And he did all that was within his power to do and all that God held him responsible to do to make sure that those needs were met and that our God was glorified as a result of that. What were the results of his outreach efforts and also in regard to his servant? Good people, I believe that this man, Paul, learned humility through his service. And all that he went through for the name of our Lord, I think helped him to understand, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, is that serving others is not about us, but rather it is about God and it's about others. And Paul came to understand that there seems to be, whenever he was serving under the law, whenever he was serving in a way that we now read was contrary to the law, is that there seemed to be this arrogance, in a sense, about Saul of Tarsus. At least that's the way that it comes across to me. But when you look at this man who is serving under Christ, who has proclaimed the will of God time and time again, and now as he's come in contact with sinners who are outside of the body, and as he's working on a continual basis in and amongst these individuals, we see another spirit and another attitude, and that is an attitude of humility. Why do we find a man who is humbled on this side of the cross? I believe because that's what he saw in Jesus. Jesus Christ our Lord was a humble servant, and Paul realized that if he was going to line up with our Lord, he also needed to serve in humility. And you and I, as Christians, also need to comply with that same level of standard that we find in regard to the humbleness of this man and his service. We need to be humble servants in the kingdom of God. But also we read that this man and his serving others, and not only his service, but also the service that others were doing round and about him in the church, is that these things created opportunities for him and for his company and others then to teach others about the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19, he says concerning staying a stint in Ephesus. Why? Because great doors of opportunity had been opened unto him there. Why? Because not only of the preaching and teaching of Christ, but also for the way in which the church and Paul had reached out to these individuals to find needs and to meet the needs. And God promises us that He will have open opportunities for you and me if we will serve others in the same way as which Jesus Christ our Lord served while He was here. And what is it also, though, that Paul required of those that he was teaching, even individuals that he was helping? He wanted these individuals also to understand that as they became Christians, they had a role to play also. They had responsibilities that God would lay upon them. And part of that is telling people about Christ. A part of that is walking as New Testament Christians. It's worshiping God in spirit and in truth with every opportunity that we have. But good people, he also wanted these individuals to know that as they became servants of God, that they had an opportunity and a responsibility to also serve as Jesus served their fellow man. What were the end results in regard to what we find concerning the Apostle Paul and his work as a servant? He won many souls unto Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what his mission was. And as a result of him staying focused, as a result of him giving 100% to the cause of Christ, we see that our Lord blessed this man in his efforts. And what a beautiful example this serves to you and me today in our work in the church. Today, as Christians, we are called by God to lead others unto the Lord. That's a part of the Great Commission, is stated in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. We are given the charge by God through the Apostle Paul, as he was given a charge directly to Timothy, is that the things that we have heard, we also now are chosen vessels of God with this great treasure to teach others who also then will, in their learning, they will learn and obey, but also as a result of their learning and obedience, they in like figure will be taught to teach others, to bring others into the Lord in like figure. And God tells us that He will open doors continually through our service. We see that time and time again in the first century. And today we seek to be the first century church. And as long as we seek to align ourselves with the first century church, to do things the way that they did things, then God will also open doors of opportunity on a continual basis for us as He did for them. Why? Because our God does not change in that respect. But also tonight I tell you, as I trust that most of you, if not all of you, already know, soul-winning service has many blessings attached to it. We are able to be a blessing to the people that God places into our life, the opportunities that He lays before us, to be able to assist somebody, and of course, our ultimate goal or agenda or motive is to help gain them to Christ. But still at the same time, even if these individuals do not convert to Christ immediately, we know that we've been able to sow a seed. And as a result of the things that you and I are able to do with these people in their time of need, they're able to see the love of God as well as to bring an encouragement to the soul, to the person during that time that they're going through a trial or a situation in their life. But you know, we said a couple weeks ago, the Scripture also teaches us that it's more blessed to give than to receive, Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. And as you and I give ourselves over in service to the Lord and serving others to win souls, what a blessing that brings to our life to know that we have pleased our God in being the type of servant that He calls us to be, but also what great joy that brings to us to be able to see that we've helped someone in their time of need or time of situation. The Lord promises us that He is with us. He wants us to be successful. And God, in calling us to be servants, He wants us to understand that in the end, not only will He give us an increase today in this life for the Lord's church, but God will also give us an increase in the end with an eternal reward in heaven someday. Are you a servant of the Most High God? If not, we want to extend the invitation to you tonight to put Christ on in baptism, to have your sins washed away, and then to be raised to walk in newness of life. If you're here and you've not done that, we beg and we plead with you to consider your situation and to understand the seriousness concerning the state of which you are in. And we beg and plead for you tonight to make that decision to follow the Lord before it's eternally too late. If we have some amongst our number tonight who are members of the church, but you've fallen by the wayside, and yet at the same time you come to realize you desire so much to be able to be back into a faithful, committed relationship with our Lord, we also extend that invitation to you. We will pray with you and for you.